It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m. 99.1 FM. And, of course, brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. Bill, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Good morning, War Eagle. Again, a big thank you to Coach and Forest Steakhouse for sponsoring this program. They really stepped up and took the lead. Don't forget about their special. You need to saddle up to the bar, get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. Also, mention that you heard about their establishment on this radio program.
Yeah.
Make sure you tell them you heard it on ESPN.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we always try to be positive, start on a positive note. So it's good to promote that. I'm all for that, and I'm all for promoting ESPN Pensacola as well, of course.
I need all the positives I can get this week.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. Okay, look, I told you right before we went live I was going to let you take the lead on this because there's actually a lot to unpack. I've got my own stats here, but you've got a lot. I notice you always come prepared. Oklahoma-Auburn, just for starters, generically, what did you expect to happen in this game, and what did you see?
Well, my expectations were that we would improve offensively, clean up the mistakes, be a little bit more productive, run the ball more.
Right.
Defensively, our defense has been really good and getting better every game, and this game didn't disappoint. Our defense did play pretty well. It's just the circumstances of the game, just the momentum flipped with that pick six interception, and we went from feeling really good, confident that we're going to finally win a conference game at home to, you know, just pull the sheets and turn the lights out. We're going home. If you look at the game on paper, we dominated in every facet of the ball.
You really did.
Yeah, 383 yards in the air. Jarquez Hunter had 97 yards. Cam Coleman had 3 receptions for 82 yards. All of our skill players stepped up and performed.
Right.
It was one mistake, where in the previous two losses, the Big Five losses, we had 5 turnovers in each game.
Yeah.
We only had 1 turnover in this game. It cost us – it was a pick six, so it was a 7-point – it was actually a 14-point flip because we were driving. We were on their side of the field when it happened. Another disappointing part of it was the very first offensive drive was a 3-and-out. Their very first offensive drive, they got a big chunk play, 40-plus yards on a single run that scored a touchdown. So put us behind 7-0 early. Our very next drive, we drive it all the way to the 1-yard line and turn the ball over on downs.
Ugh.
So, you know, that's a 7. You just gave up 7 points, a minimum of 3 points. And then to close out the first half, you drive the ball. You got a just short of 40-yard field goal. You hook it left, but the defense jumped offside, so you get a second chance from 5 yards closer, and you do the same thing. So right. That's another offensive series in scoring position with 0 points. So I kind of feel like we left a lot on the table.
Yeah.
And the mistakes are getting less frequent, and they're smaller mistakes. But the consequences of the mistakes in this game were much bigger because we went from being ahead in the ball game to now being behind in the ball game, and the momentum completely flipped. And it just changed the whole landscape of the last two series of the ball game.
Well, I think I really like what you said there at the end. You're making less mistakes, but the mistakes now mean more. And that's especially the case when you're playing a team like Oklahoma. I told you earlier, Oklahoma's completely flipped their narrative. When you think of Oklahoma, you think of Big 12. You think of we're scoring 40 points a game, but we're giving up 37. Oklahoma's the exact opposite of that now. And that could be because of their tricky quarterback situation, but they're all defense. I'm very proud of Auburn's ball control. They had, obviously, as you said, 2 games where they gave up 5 turnovers. However, you only gave up 1 against Oklahoma, and you guys are the first team they faced all year to only give up 1. I think Tennessee gave up a couple, and everybody else gave up at least 2. Temple, I think, gave up 6. God bless them. It was Oklahoma, if you – one poorly passed ball, one – you know, weak form on how you're carrying the ball, anything, if you don't have that ball tucked, whatever it may be, Oklahoma's going to capitalize on it. And that's what happened to Auburn with the pick six. That you made a mistake, Oklahoma capitalized. But, yeah, you had more first downs than they did. You had 26. They had 11. You had 482 yards. They had 291. And you were even better disciplined. You only had 7 penalties to Oklahoma's 10. So, and, of course, with all that yardage and all the more first downs, you dominated time of possession. You had the ball for 11 minutes longer than the Sooners. That's just unreal.
On paper, it should have been a 35-10 game in Auburn's favor. We had 75 total plays. They only had 47. I mean, that reflects also in the time of possession. Offensively, we just weren't able to close the deal and score the points. We had 3 offensive possessions where we came away with no points, and we were in a position where we could have scored.
Yeah. And, I mean, Oklahoma, as you said, you blew the double-digit lead. What, it was 21-10, finals 27-21. And the pick six was, unfortunately, the score that shifted the lead. That's what gave Oklahoma the edge. I want to talk about this. And, well, you know what? No, I'm not going to talk about it yet. I was going to talk about the kicking situation. We'll get to that later because that actually deserves a league of its own. I do want to say this is a quality loss. I'll summarize it that way. It's a quality loss, but what puts a damper on all of it is that, as you just said, it was completely avoidable.
Absolutely. It was being at the watch party and being there with 40 people that all are dressed and bleed in orange and blue.
Yeah.
It was very exciting to watch us make improvements and look like we're really going to come up and live up to the expectations we had preseason. And then interception, return for a touchdown, it was like collectively the oxygen just left the room. It was so demoralizing.
Right.
I still feel like we've turned it around. I feel like we've turned the offensive complex or complexion of this team has been turned around as far as the mistakes. Very few penalties. You already covered that. They had more penalties for more yards. We had 75 offensive plays. I mean, you have to win a ball game when you have 70-plus offensive plays, unless the other team's just lighting the scoreboard up as well.
Right.
I just feel like we left a lot on the table, and that's the mistake now that we're going to have to fix. It's going to be really hard to do that in Athens.
Right.
But over the course of the season, I really think they're going to get this worked out. Whatever is going on off the field with the organization and with the kids in the locker room and on the practice field seems to be keeping the team together. I think there's a lot of senior leadership on the team that's pulling the team together. And I think the coaching staff, they're not throwing individual players under the bus. They're taking responsibility for what's going on with the game. And they're trying to find a way to keep these kids motivated and keep them playing at a high level. You got to find a way now to make that translate into points and victories on the football field.
Right. And as far as statistical performance in at least attempting to make that dream a reality, Peyton Thorne, I do want to give credit to him. Yeah, he threw the pick six, but against Oklahoma's defense, I think that says a lot of good about them rather than it does bad about Peyton. However, beyond that, he threw 21 for 32, almost 340 yards, 3 touchdowns. He averaged 10.5 yards a pass, and he also had 23 rushing yards to his name. So it's not a bad look for him heading into Athens, but this is what I hinted at earlier. Kicker Towns, I want to say McGuff, his name is spelled something like that. His first name is Towns, that makes him unique enough. Kicker, he missed 2 field goals, one was from 31, and then he missed it, but it's like, okay, illegal procedure by Oklahoma. So we're going to move it to around, you know, just outside the 25, right around 26, 27-ish. And he missed again.
Exactly the same kick.
Yeah.
Pulled both of them to the left.
And then he missed a long one later in the game. So we're talking about 2 field goals here in a 6-point loss. Simple math tells you that cuts deep.
Absolutely. Well, the offensive drive all the way to the 1 where you come away with no points, turn the ball over on downs. Minimum of 3 points, because that would have been a chip shot. That would have been same as a point after attempt.
Yeah.
And then the two chances on the same drive, both pulled left, and then the missed long one. So you really think about it, you gave up 12 points.
Well, and Towns,
a minimum of 12 points.
Well, and the problem is this isn't just, oh, we had an off game. Towns is now 2-for-5 on the year in field goals, and he's 0-3 against Power 4 opposition. He made his field goals against Alabama, A&M, and New Mexico. He hasn't made them against a bigger-name opponent. He's a freshman kicker. You don't want to be too hard on the kid.
Yeah, he wasn't supposed to be the starting kicker anyway. The starting kicker got injured, so he had to step into that role. But that's what they brought him there for.
Right.
They brought him there to bring him up, and they're just having to bring him up a little sooner than they wanted to.
Right.
It's a baptism of fire for him. you can't lay all the blame at his feet.
Oh, no, absolutely
figuratively
not.
or
literally.
Literally.
Right.
You know, he's doing the best he can. It's just that's a nerve-wracking place to – it's a nerve-wracking place to go as a fan and watch the game. I can't imagine how nerve-wracking it would be for an 18-year-old freshman to step out there and try to make a kick in front of that many people, and they're all cheering for you.
Yeah.
You know, you really I can understand where they walk off that field feeling like they let down 85,000 people, you know. Yeah.
No, I get you. And as you said, I mean, even when you're at home and even when it's an easy field goal, it can be a lot of pressure. And as we said again, he's a freshman leg, so you got to be a bit understanding. Mentioned Peyton Thorne a moment ago, other impact players. Jarquez Hunter, 17 carries for 97 yards, averaged 5.7 yards a carry. And then the receiving core, man, 4 receivers to average 15 yards or more on 3 or more catches. Leading receiver Cam Coleman had 82 yards on just 3 catches. That's 27.3 yards a catch. So y'all torched this Oklahoma defense. I think that's a real statement for y'all.
Yeah, the big catch was KLS, Lambert Smith. Mm. He had a touchdown reception. He had 5 catches for 77 yards. That's 15 yards per catch.
And that's consistent.
And the tight end, Rivaldo Fairweather, had 3 catches for 71 yards. I mean, we were
crazy.
We were hitting the skill players with passes that were on time, on the mark, and allowed them to make big chunk plays. The stats are there. It just didn't produce. There was no production on the scoreboard.
It's as I said, quality loss, but that doesn't make it hurt any less. Exactly. A quarter after 10, we'll take a quick break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse. But also, just want to say this before we go to break. When we return, all right, we always do our little recap. Then we're going to do a look ahead. We got the Georgia Bulldogs in Sanford Stadium. Well, there's a lot to unpack there, especially after this last week for the Bulldogs. We got details on that and more coming up after the break.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated 3-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Get ready, Alabama fans, for the Roll Tide Radio Show, Friday mornings from 10 till 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Get caught up on the latest Crimson Tide updates, game analysis, and upcoming matchups. Time to talk some football, Alabama football. The Roll Tide Radio Talk Show every Friday from 10 till 11 a.m. brought to you by Cantomat Ace Hardware right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. Roll Tide.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check that your guests like spicy first before serving atomic hot wings.
Who's hungry?
Oh my gosh. What are these?
You don't like them? Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
Water.
You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up. You can go farther and save on full synthetic with our oil change special. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life oil filter for just $35.99. Get the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Everyone deserves to live a full life, beginning with a nourishing meal. However, right here in our local Gulf Coast community, 1 in 6 individuals, including 1 in 4 children, face hunger. Feeding the Gulf Coast works with more than 800 community partners across 24 counties along the Florida Panhandle and throughout South Alabama and South Mississippi to help connect individuals with the food they need to thrive. Would you stand alongside us to turn hunger into hope for those who need it most? To get involved or find a food pantry near you, visit feedingthegulfcoast.org.
Are you looking for a place to feed your passion for singing and connect with other young people who love to perform? Then come join us at the Pensacola Children's Chorus. For as little as $15 a month, any child in grades 1 through 12 can come and discover the magic of music. No prior experience is necessary. Whether the stage is your second home or you're a total beginner, there's a place for you in the choir. For details on how to join, visit us online at PensacolaSings.org.
You want it? You got it. NFL football on ESPN Pensacola. 18. Sunday, it's an NFL doubleheader as the New York Jets rumble with the Minnesota Vikings in merry old London, England at 8:15 a.m. Then the Dallas Cowboys take on the Pittsburgh Steelers at 7 p.m. Catch every pass, every play, right here on ESPN Pensacola. Sunday, an NFL play. The Jets rumble with the Vikings in England at 8:15 a.m. Then the Cowboys and the Steelers clash at 7 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. And, of course, brought to you by Coaching for Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And we just now gave our recap, as we often do, about last week's game. The big takeaway was it's a quality loss, but it was a preventable loss in every sense of the term. Now we got Georgia. You just thought Oklahoma was tough. Now you got to go to the Dogs in Sanford. And I think the main question here, and I'll set you up for this because I know you've got a novel there, my man. But I think the main question here is whether you're catching the Dogs at a good or bad time. Are they out for blood, or can you kick them while they're down?
I'm hoping they're down. I'd like to be able to kick them if they're down. After the game last week, the way Alabama jumped out real quick on them, and then they made a comeback and only to give up the game winner to the 17-year-old kid, Phenom.
Yeah.
I think they're probably licking their wounds and they're looking to make a statement this week. Unfortunately, it has to be us that goes in there behind this kind of game. I love this game, though. It's the Deep South's oldest rivalry.
Right.
128 total meetings, so we're at 129 coming up. We've had a lot of success at Athens. There's a rich history in this whole rivalry of the visiting team winning.
Really?
It's not like a streak of visiting teams winning. It's just we tend to do pretty well at Athens when we're expected to not do very well. It's a very tough place to go play. The crowd's very well motivated to watch the game. Their fan base is very excited about their football program, always has been.
For
and,
sure.
they, and they should be. It's rich in history. Those hedges take a beating when they when they win a big game there because the fans just come crushing.
Yeah,
over
jumping
them.
Over.
Yeah. It's a great place to go. It's a great game. I'm looking forward to watching it. I'm not sure about the line on the game. The line, they're favored by 24.5. The over and under is 52.5. So that doesn't leave a whole lot of room for Auburn to, quote, score any points on them. I think we're gonna be able to score points on them. I'm hoping we can score in the 21 to 24 point range.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how that's gonna look. I expect us to cover the line. I'm not sure what the over and under is going to look like.
Right. Well, and I agree with you 100% as far as this offense. If it looks anything like it did this last weekend, they do have the potential to put up some points on Georgia, especially with the rivalry implications, adding a twinge of uncertainty to it. Georgia, they are a more defensive-minded team. Their offense did great against Bama. That's even with the four turnovers they had. But Auburn's a defensive-minded squad. So there's going to be some canceling out here. Obviously, Georgia is the more proven team. But I don't think this is going to be just some beatdown. I don't think so. I think regardless of what happens, Georgia probably starts off slow here. You know, they're getting a lot of credit for how they brought the game back against Alabama. And as they should. You have to have that level-headedness in a crisis to be a successful team. But it doesn't change the fact you were down 28-0, you know?
Well, you mentioned a slow start. They started off slow and stayed slow against Kentucky. They got lucky right. They got lucky to win that game. They definitely started off slow against Alabama. They have some holes in their defense that Alabama took advantage of.
Yep.
I think Auburn's going to take advantage of some of those same things because we have the skill players to do it. We have the two running backs that can take care of the ball on the ground. And we have two receivers that are getting averaging 11 to 15 yards per catch. If we can get our receivers behind that defense quickly so that Peyton can make the correct reads and hit the right receivers the way he did against Oklahoma, I think we can score points. I don't know if we'll be able to keep up with them on point total.
Yeah.
But we should be able to score points. It's all about those mistakes. We talked about those mistakes. We're cleaning them up slowly but surely, but this is the game where you have to pretty much play a flawless ball game if you have any chance of making it a ball game.
Great minds think alike, Bill, because I had it next here on the notes that, yeah, ball control is going to be a huge thing. We talked about it with Oklahoma in the last segment. That's a team that gets multiple turnovers every game. You cannot have that. You don't have room for error against a defense of that caliber. Georgia is another team that coming into this game has at least one turnover that, or let me rephrase, has at least one takeaway that they've gotten every game they've played. So when you have a team like Auburn who's trying to get rid of some ball control issues, that's a very big red flag. If you can just keep control of the ball, just don't give Georgia anything that they don't have to earn. You know, have Georgia earn every score. Have them earn every possession. Have them earn everything they get. If you give it to them, Georgia's going to capitalize on it. There's a reason they're a national contender.
Yeah, last week was we gave up one big chunk play, which was their first score, the 40-plus yard run by their phenom quarterback.
Yeah.
And we never gave up another big play after that. I think the biggest play after that was, 13 yards, 14 yards. We gave up a handful of plays that were in the 8 to 12-yard range, but we kept the big play from happening. The tackling improved defensively, the being in the correct place and at the correct time with your defense was – those evolutions were showing a lot of improvement in the Oklahoma game.
Right.
The defensive backs were covering the receivers. You can't ask for any more than that. If they happen to have a quarterback and a receiver that are just on track with each other, and your best defensive back is going to have a hard time, especially if that play takes more than 3 or 4 seconds to develop.
Yeah.
Now they've got time to make separation and open it up. We have to do the same thing offensively. We have to extend the plays. We have to hopefully get a couple of big chunk plays. I'm expecting a lot more running this game than the Oklahoma game. I think had we run the ball more at the second half of last week's game, it would have – obviously an interception doesn't happen when you're running the ball.
Right.
But that's what I'm looking to see in this game. That's what I'm hoping to see in this game, is more ball control type offense. Keep the ball on the ground. Yeah, a little bit more conservative. And if Lambert Smith or Cam gets open behind the receiver and you can hit that big chunk play, do it.
Yeah.
Go for it. I'm not opposed to that. Don't get reckless. Yeah. Don't just launch it down the field because you think your guy can run under it.
Right. Because Georgia, they're not going to give you anything defensively. Offensively, Georgia's of course not a pushover either. Here's a fun little fact for you. they've scored 34 points or more in three of their four games so far this season. That includes at Alabama. Georgia's 34 points last weekend ties Texas for the most points scored on the Tide since Tennessee beat them 52-49 back in 2022. So safe to say, win or loss, you don't really have teams running up to score on Bama too often. Georgia was able to do that, even with their slow start and even with those four turnovers. And speaking of turnovers, Georgia hadn't turned the ball over even once before last weekend. So this tells you that Georgia is a well-composed offense. It's a high-caliber offense. It can score on some of the best defensive talents out there, and it's not going to give you anything. So if Auburn is in this game, whether it's just keeping it close or it's actually winning it, it's not going to be a fluke. You're going to have to earn it.
Yeah, we should not blueprint our game plan off the Alabama game.
Right.
Auburn should blueprint the game plan off the Kentucky game.
That's true.
Because Kentucky, the way Kentucky played Georgia is the way Auburn should be playing Georgia. And Kentucky did exactly that. They minimized mistakes, minimized turnovers. They kept the ball on the ground. They extended drives. I think they even had more plays, offensive plays, than Georgia did in that game, which is time of possession.
Yeah.
So Auburn, that's what, in my opinion, the game plan should resemble or should mirror is what happened in the Kentucky-Georgia game.
And so the occasional imbecile may try to clown Kentucky, you know, for not scoring a touchdown, losing that game at home when they could have won it, whatever. But the bottom line is, if you're almost beating Georgia, you're doing something right. And we can't sit here and act like Kentucky's complete, you know, flukes or posers or something. They just went into Ole Miss and won, and their defense shined there. The Ole Miss, all, you know, humorous nature of it aside, Ole Miss, their offense was supposed to be unstoppable, insurmountable. They welcome the Wildcats. They don't even go anywhere. They welcome the Wildcats to Oxford. They only put up 17 points. So Kentucky is not some schmuck team. So I'm right there with you. If you are someone that can give this team a scare and physically match them, this is absolutely winnable.
I think the Kentucky game this past weekend against Ole Miss proved to the undecided that the Georgia game was not a fluke.
Right.
Kentucky has a real ball team. They have a real defense. And they just weren't able to score the points that they needed to clear the hurdle against the Georgia Bulldogs. With it being at Georgia, though, this is going to be a tough game. It's going to be a really tough game.
Yeah, that's a given.
I'm hoping it's a fun game to watch. I'm hoping it turns out very well in our favor.
Yeah,
it's a long shot, but hey, I've seen stranger things happen.
Well, and Georgia's looked anything but untouchable this season, whether it be because of Kentucky or Bama. I will say that, yeah, you said going to Georgia is going to be tough. Of course it will. If this were like the 2015-2016 Georgia teams that lost like five games, this would still be a tough place to play. And I do want to say, use this as motivation, because I told you before we went on air, but just in case people are not aware, Alabama goes to Vanderbilt on Saturday, and we'll touch more on these games later, but just know, Alabama's favoring over Vanderbilt, the point spread, is lower than Georgia's favoring over Auburn. The spread we saw earlier was 24.5. ESPN now saying 24. It doesn't matter. Bama's only favored over Vandy by 22.5. So if Auburn wants to take offense to anything, to use it as rat poison, as that coach who shall remain nameless would call it, go right ahead. Use that as the rat poison to fuel you in the Georgia game. Just past 10:30 here, we'll take a quick break. When we return, Bill, just let me get confirmation from you here. You said you had some talk about recruiting, correct, that you wanted to touch on?
Oh, absolutely. Next segment, we'll talk about some really good positive news that Auburn needed this week, happened yesterday.
I was about to say, regardless of the good and bad that we take away from the games themselves, it looks like we could have a bright future brewing in Jordan-Hare, that's for darn sure. All righty, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, and brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Cochin Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
It's weed, not alcohol. It just relaxes me. I'm a better driver when I'm high. I do it all the time, no problem.
THC reduces your reaction time by half a second, impacting your attention, coordination, and lane tracking. A delay of just half a second can be the difference between life and death. Stay alert, stay alive. Don't drive high.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Transportation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hear that? The soothing sounds of a bubble bath. And if you were here, you'd smell a single cedar leaf candle. But you're not here. Because your self-care happens out on the road, riding your motorcycle protected by Progressive. So if you ride, get back on the road and enjoy 24/7 roadside assistance from Progressive, America's number one motorcycle insurer. And then take a shower, because it's fast, like your motorcycle. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Roadside assistance may require comprehensive coverage. Not available in all states.
This college football moment is brought to you by ServPro.
College football teams have moments they recovered from and made it like it never even happened. For instance, on September 21st, 2019, UCLA trailed Washington State 49-17 with under 7 minutes left in the third quarter. From that point forward, the Bruins erased that 32-point deficit, outscoring the Cougars 50-14 to win 67-63.
ServPro, like it never even happened.
Papi, walking around our block is like walking around the world.
How do you mean?
My friend Kayla's from India, Lily's from China, and Beza's from Ethiopia.
We're lucky we live in a diverse community where people from different backgrounds live in the same neighborhood.
I like it.
To learn more about how the Fair Housing Act promotes diversity, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. The Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, and familial status. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Junior League of Pensacola encourages projects that support women and children's initiatives. Through collaboration and service, the Junior League of Pensacola has served and supported Escambia and Santa Rosa counties for nearly 67 years by taking on tough issues like diaper need awareness and insecurity, empowering and training women to be more effective leaders, and leaving a legacy of service that is ready to confront tomorrow's issues head on is the goal. To learn more, visit pensacola.jl.org.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also, be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas.
So how do you know which games we're carrying?
Easy. Just follow us on Facebook /ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola. All sports, all the time.
Listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us through 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, or our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, this show is brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And, Bill, at around this time, we typically start to tackle some of the games going around the SEC, and we'll get to that. There's several teams on byes, though, and we'll touch on that later. Right now, though, we do have some good news for Auburn regarding some recruiting updates. Is that correct?
We have great news. Auburn's 2025 class is looking much better. Yesterday, Auburn flipped the number four quarterback in the country, Deuce Knight, from Notre Dame to Auburn. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. He comes out of Lucedale, Mississippi.
Right.
I've seen the YouTube videos of his performances in high school, and he's a tall, very athletic guy. He can throw the ball a mile, but he's a huge threat with his feet, which is exactly the type of quarterback Auburn needs. Very Cam Newton-like. Now, I may be putting a lot on his plate by saying that, and I don't mean to, you know, but he has very high expectations. He came to the last three Auburn games. He didn't make his official Auburn visit until this last game. And, of course, my expectation was on Monday, him having made that official visit this past weekend was, well, maybe we're not going to be able to flip him. Whatever relationships he built with the players that are there now and the other players that he knows are coming in 2025 and whatever the coaching staff impressed upon him, it made a huge difference because he committed to Auburn yesterday, and that is huge positive news.
No, that's awesome. First of all, Notre Dame, they are no stranger to taking talent from other schools. So I'm all for seeing it kind of be dished back. But, no, in all seriousness, that's huge for Auburn. And as you said, a Cam Newton comparison, that is until people see him, that is blasphemous.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of right now that's better than that is having one of these burgers and fries with a beer for $11.95 at Coaching 4. Make sure you go there and get that before 6:30.
Absolutely. And that was not planned, not on my end at least. I did not tell him to say that. So that was some grade A promotion there, Bill. That was awesome. I am
well,
so
they
proud
deserve
of
it.
That.
They deserve it for sponsoring this program, and I am so grateful.
No, that's absolutely true. But all righty. So, yeah, high expectations when we get a Cam Newton comparison. But nonetheless, Auburn, we were talking about the talent that they have, but especially when it comes to these big games. When you look at in Oklahoma most recently, or you look at Georgia coming up, you look at how you guys played Georgia last year. Well, you said it was a touchdown game, correct?
Yeah, 27-20.
Right.
We played them very well. Of course, it was at a home game, and that goes back to where I was saying the visiting team has a very good record against the opponent in this particular series.
Yeah.
You look at all the games. I don't have the stats exactly, but I know the visitor has a very good record of winning games at the opposing team stadium.
Yeah. So, and then we've got, you know, another one I mentioned when we were on break was 2019 LSU. They only beat Auburn by 23, or excuse me, only beat them, 23-20, I think the score was. So only beat them by a field goal.
Yep.
So and when you play Nick Saban's Alabama every year, you do have to be prepared to tackle some big time talent, big time games. So I appreciate giving a shout out to the Auburn, you know, Auburn getting this huge W in recruiting because it is you can succeed there. They do produce big time talent, and they're clearly battle tested when it comes to these big time games.
Yeah, the program is selling itself in spite of the outcome of the football games this year,
right?
Which is a huge positive to me. That means there's cohesion in the locker room and there's cohesion in the coaching staff.
Yeah, it shows a good culture, and it shows – I think a lot of players see the potential that Auburn has. That's the thing. They don't look at this like it's Vanderbilt. They see, okay, these teams have the potential to be great. They play good teams well.
Especially the way things are now with NIL.
Oh, yeah.
There is a – you are selling a product now with NIL, so the product – the product is selling itself, which is encouraging, very encouraging.
Yeah, the term sales pitch in college sports has gotten far more literal in recent memory. All right, looking at some of these SEC games kind of swirling around, Mississippi State's on a bye because they got Georgia after y'all do, so that should be fun. LSU's on a bye, Kentucky as well, and then Texas and Oklahoma both on byes because they got the Red River rivalry next week. So it's not a ton of action in the SEC side of things, but we do have some good games here, starting with one that I think is setting off alarm bells for everyone as an upset alert, especially after last week. Number 12, Ole Miss, travels to South Carolina, takes on the Gamecocks and Williams-Brice. What do you think?
Ole Miss is angry.
Yeah, they should be.
They're very angry after having lost to Kentucky at home. They're going to go into South Carolina with their hair on fire and their ears pinned back, and they're gonna unleash everything they have in that offense. And they're going to try to throw some points up there. Jackson Dart is probably going to have a really good game.
Right, and some people are probably going to, you know, argue that, hey, man, it's South Carolina. Who cares? It's not a quality win if you beat South Carolina. Yes, it is. Williams-Brice is a very tough place to play. There's a reason Ole Miss is only favored by 9. That Kentucky team that just beat Ole Miss in Oxford lost at home by 25 to the South Carolina team. So it's not some, you know, oh, schmuck win. It means something.
Every game in this conference against a conference opponent means something, regardless of what team it is.
Well, yeah, so Ole Miss, based on how you kind of hyped them up there as being, like, angry and ready to prove something, I'm assuming you've got them covering the 9-point spread?
Oh, absolutely.
I'll say that they cover. I don't think it's going to be some blowout, though. I'll say Ole Miss wins.
I don't know that it'll be a blowout, but I'm looking at Ole Miss winning by 14 to 17 points.
Okay, so, yeah, convincing win. All right, number one, Alabama. Let me ask, you know what? Time out. We're going to take a quick detour here. Number one, Alabama. I'll word this delicately because I know we're on an Auburn show here. Do you agree with them being number one? Just short answer, yes or no.
My head says yes. My heart says no.
I get it because Texas kind of had a slow start against Mississippi State, and when you beat Georgia, who was supposed to be the favorite coming into the year, I get why Alabama's getting that love.
The only knock against Texas being number one is they're still not settled on their quarterback.
That's true.
Alabama has no quarterback issues.
Right. Yeah, people look at Texas and say, oh, well, hey, I mean, Quinn Ewers is great. Arch Manning's great. Isn't that a good thing? Yeah, but they want to see stability with an offensive identity. You don't want to be wishy-washy. You know, if you can at all avoid running a two-quarterback system, avoid it. All right. Anyways, number one, Alabama goes to Vanderbilt. Typically, we'd laugh this one off. I don't think this is someone that Alabama should completely ignore. They're riding high. They're going on the road. Diego Pavia, very experienced QB for the Commodores, and he's a dual threat. He is their leading passer and leading rusher. Alabama should know better than anybody how much a dual threat quarterback is worth. They go into Nashville. We've seen teams sleep on Vandy, and we saw Vandy beat them. We saw Vandy beat Vatek. We saw Vandy take Mizzou to, I think, 2 overtimes. So this isn't some team that you should just neglect. But Alabama is nonetheless favored by 22.5. Do you think Alabama covers?
I think Alabama covers, but just barely.
I think they win this game. I think they give up what would be, by their standard, a lot of points, quote-unquote, which is like 17. I think, you know, Vandy will try to kind of put up some points and try to make an impact. They'll put up a little bit. I think Alabama is just a better team, though. This is where physicality is going to come into play and the caliber of your talent. Number four, Tennessee, goes to Arkansas. Do you think this is upset material? You've seen Arkansas. You've seen them play Auburn.
I believe Arkansas can upset Tennessee.
Really?
Having watched the way Arkansas played against Auburn, capitalizing on mistakes and not making mistakes of their own.
They're not a bad team.
No, they're not. They're a very good defensive team.
Yeah, Tennessee could
be looking past Arkansas on this week.
They could be.
And Arkansas could creep up on them and take advantage of that.
Fayetteville's a tough place to play. Tennessee only favored by 13. I think when you're one of the most proven teams, that's a compliment to Arkansas.
It's essentially a night game.
Yeah, 6:30 kick. Man, the Razorbacks. They lost to an OK State team that's been ranked. They lost to who is it? A&M, who's ranked, even though some would argue fraudulently. So Arkansas being at home, quality losses. Tennessee can overlook them, especially with all the hype Tennessee's getting. We could argue that Ole Miss overlooked Kentucky with all the hype they were getting. So this could certainly be a similar situation with the Volunteers. I think the Volunteers will take care of it. I don't think they're going to get too caught up in their own ego just yet. But Arkansas is not a pushover by any stretch of the imagination. Then we got UCF at Florida. Now, this one's really fascinating. UCF was unbeaten. They just got demolished by Colorado. Now they go on the road against a Florida team that's coming off a bye. UCF has a 2.5-point spread. Competitively, it's probably one of the better games of the weekend, at least in the SEC. What do you have?
I think Florida's finally got the wheels back on their train and getting it back on the track. This could be the game where they finally say to all their fan base, okay, we're going to be okay. We're going to fix things, and this will be the game that shows that they're actually making those improvements.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Florida, like, do you think Florida fans, rather, are wishing they would lose these types of games?
I think some of their fans probably are. The
to
ones,
fire
the
Napier
ones that are,
sooner?
The ones that are, pardon my French, hell-bent on Billy Napier being fired, they're going to look at this game and say, by all means, UCF should win, so it seals the deal.
Yeah. I
now, if UCF does win, I think it will seal the deal.
Yeah, I've heard a Florida fan argue that they kind of wanted Mississippi State to win a couple weeks ago. But Florida went on the road and won by three possessions. I've got Florida winning this game now. UCF collapsed. Florida's as ready for this game as they're ever going to be. I'll take the Gators. And I'll say it's a high-scoring game. I'll say, like, I don't know, 36-30, something like that. Alrighty. So did you give who you thought would win that game?
The Florida game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Florida will win it.
Oh, okay. But as you said, if UCF wins, we got a problem.
I think they're righting the ship. They're getting the pieces back together, and it's starting to work for them.
Yeah, so that would technically be an upset because UCF does have the narrow spread here. So, you know, give them hell, Gators in Gainesville. All righty. 10:48, we'll take one last quick break. When we return, we'll touch on some of the bigger games that are going on here nationally, put our finishing touches on the Auburn-Georgia game because, of course, that is a big one. We got it. And I don't know if you've got a score prediction, but I myself do. So we will touch on that. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coaching Four Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coaching Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
More than just a location, the Port of Pensacola is a thriving economic engine and a strategic gateway fueling growth and prosperity across Northwest Florida. Since 1754, it's become the cornerstone of the region's economic vitality, with over 20 dynamic businesses calling it home, including major players like Cemex Materials, General Electric Verona's Wind Energy, Offshore Inland Marine, Pete Stevedore, and the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Discover the possibilities at portofpensacola.com.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
Hey fans! Welcome back to Fansville's Cheers and Tears. Oh. Okay, so like everybody deals with losing, right? To a rival on a last second field goal. Whatever, it's fine. I'm totally fine. But I cope with losing with an ice cold Dr. Pepper. Those 23 flavors are like so delicious. They totally wash away the pain of your college football team taking a big fat L. College football, it's a pepper thing.
Well, here we are again, and
I gotta tell you, Jim, this match has me really concerned.
Here we have a powerful heavyweight, a train, weighing in at 6,000 tons, and this hasty lightweight challenger, a car, at just 1.5 tons.
This does not bode well for the car, or the people in it.
It's no contest. Every day, people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
When you enter the world of autism, it can leave you feeling overwhelmed and alone. That's where Autism Pensacola comes in. We guide you through the maze of resources available to families affected by autism in the Gulf Coast area. We also offer programs like Kids for Camp, Sensory Street, Project Lifesaver, and opportunities for support and socializing. Call us at 850-434-7171 or visit autismpensacola.org. We're here for you so you will never feel alone again.
Hey there, Pensacola sports fans. Are you tired of boring radio shows that put you to sleep faster than a lullaby? Well, we've got the cure for your sports talk blues. Tune in to ESPN Pensacola 1330 AM and 99.1 FM, where the excitement never stops. From Canty Cohen and Smallman in the morning to Amber and Fitz in the evening, we'll keep you entertained while keeping you up to date on all the sports action. So grab your popcorn, buckle up, and get ready for a wild ride of laughter and sports knowledge.
ESPN Pensacola
on 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
We are your home for the Area High School Game of the Week, ESPN Pensacola.
It's War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, brought to you by Coach and Forrest Steakhouse. Austin Price and Chris, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Now, Bill, I made a fatal error. We were touching on the SEC games before we got into some of the more nationally relevant ones, and I can't believe I missed this. The prime SEC game when it comes to rankings and implications, number 9 Mizzou goes to number 25 Texas A&M. Texas A&M, I thought they were kind of a questionable ranked team before the Arkansas game, but they are favored in this one by 2.5 points. What do you think?
I think Missouri wins this game.
I think they do.
I'm with you on the Texas A&M thing. I think they're being ranked where they are is just a little on the generous side, to say the least.
And for whatever reason, Texas A&M, they were 25, then they beat Bowling Green by 6, and they went up to 24. But then they beat Arkansas by 4, and technically dropped. They're now tied for 25th. So whatever that's about, the AP voters don't know what they're doing. Either way, I got Missouri winning that game, but I've got to be in close.
Well, I think the line on that game reflects more the home field advantage than anything else.
Yeah, and also Mizzou has underperformed against some opponents as well. Friday night, Michigan State goes to number 6, Oregon. Speaking of teams that have underperformed, what do you think here? Oregon's favored by 24. Based on what you were saying during the break, it doesn't sound like you think that's a fair shot at Michigan State.
I don't believe so. I still think Oregon's going to win the game. It's a home game, and it's a night game on the West Coast, and
that's tough.
That's going to be hard for Michigan State to make that adjustment. I just don't see it being the point spread being quite that wide. Maybe a 14-point game. 10 to 14 points.
Oregon hasn't done enough to prove that they can dominate. If they do, good for them, but I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, they don't have Bo Nix anymore.
Yep, that's true. They now got Dylan Gabriel. SMU travels to Louisville. SMU just kind of beat up on Florida State. Some people might find that funny, but their only loss is to a ranked BYU. They go to a ranked Louisville whose only loss is to Notre Dame. So we've got two teams with quality losses here facing off, and it's now a conference game. What do you think?
Like the home team, Louisville.
They're only favored by 7, so as you said, that could be another just home cooking thing with the spread. So these are while the games aren't like too pounding nationally in some of these, they are pretty competitive. Let's see, we also had, we'll touch on it just because, as you said, it's local. Number 15 Clemson goes to Florida State. It's regionally relevant. Florida State's been struggling on both sides of the ball. Once again, just got beat up by SMU. Clemson, defensive minded team these past few years, but have been cooking offensively this season. What do you think?
I'm not – what is the spread on this game?
Clemson is favored by 14.5. I find it very hard to believe that Clemson's going to struggle, quote-unquote struggle, that much.
I do see Clemson covering the line.
I see them more than doubling the line. I got Clemson – I think the score I had was 44-10. I got Clemson winning this game easy. Florida State can't move the ball. All right, and we just got some other ones here, just very quick hitters. Number 10, Michigan goes to Washington. Michigan is not favored. Washington has the 2.5-point spread.
That's a home field line.
Yeah.
I see Michigan winning that game. Michigan looks good in spite of their rebuilding. Yeah. I still think they're a good football team.
Michigan's just – their only problem is they've limped to the finish line in a lot of games. So I think if they win, it will be close. Number 11, USC goes to Minnesota. Minnesota – almost beat Michigan last week, speaking of which. USC is favored by 8.
I think Minnesota's going to pull out the win.
Oh, wow. You got an outright upset there, huh?
Yep.
Okay. And then this is another one that just, you know, Floridian represent. Number 8, Miami goes to Cal. The reason why we're touching on this one is also because I believe it's the site for game day this weekend. For whatever reason, Miami, of course, a controversial character after their Va-Tech win, if we can even call it that, with that very controversial call at the end of the game. Going to Cal. Cal's only got one loss, but it's to FSU. What do you think?
Well, it's a night game on the West Coast. Miami has to travel. It's a huge differential in time that they're going to have to make an adjustment to. With it being a home game for California and the way the Miami Va-Tech game ended,
yep,
I think California is going to win this game.
Whoa, you actually got Cal winning. I know Miami has to travel very far, and I know that Cal, you know, they've got a very nice stadium, very underrated environment. I've got Miami winning the game. I don't have it being some blowout. I got to be in 34-20. But, wow, so you've actually got Cal beating them. Well, yeah, that'll be one of our biggest talking points next week.
I see it being maybe 24-21, but California winning.
Wow, low-scoring game. Hey, if Cal can do that, congrats to them.
They have a good defense. They proved it against Auburn.
Yeah, no, they do. They do have a good defense. And, yeah, they don't cut you any slack. If you make mistakes, they hold you accountable. Okay. Well, I'm not saying it can't happen. We'll see how that turns out. And then we've got, of course, game of the hour, Auburn going to Georgia. Georgia firing on both sides of the ball, all cylinders. Auburn, offense looking better. Defense has been stout all season. But they got to go to Athens. What is your verdict, sir?
Well, my head says it'll be a Georgia victory. My heart says it'll be an Auburn victory.
Quite conflicting.
And it's a mirror image on the score. My head says it's going to be Georgia 23-21. My heart says it's going to be Auburn 23-21.
Man, you know, you've talked one of the biggest themes that we've had in today's show. You talked about Georgia and Auburn always being a tight game. We talked about Auburn showing up in tough games, especially, you know, visiting teams in these rivalries and all that. Oh, gosh. I just can't help but think that Georgia is going to start slow, as I said earlier. But as the game progresses, they're going to start to wear you down and they're going to start to pull away. Especially being at home, I know that may not mean much in this matchup. But I've got Georgia winning the game. Final score, don't be mad, 36-13. That's what I've got. Could that be a bit high scoring on the side of Georgia? Absolutely it could. Could that be too lopsided? It sounds like it based on the rivalry's history. But I got Georgia slow start, pull away in the second half, 36-13 dogs.
I can respect that. Don't forget to visit Coachin' 4 and tell them you heard about it here on ESPN Radio.
Absolutely. ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.